A crowd of about 50 community members gathered in the auditorium of the YWCA in Wheeling. Betsy Dividend is the first assistant United States attorney. And she's also the reentry coordinator of the U.S. Attorney's Office. And she's produced what she calls an ex-convict reentry simulation.
Everybody who participates is given the identity of someone walking out of the prison doors. And they have tasks that they have to complete, the same that somebody in real life would.
In this reentry game, participants are making rounds to tables set around the room. Each table has a label, like DMV, probation, court, or pawn shop. But participants aren't just taking a stroll around the YWCA's auditorium. The whole experience lasts for about an hour.
Each 15-minute period will represent a week in your life.
Everyone is handed packets with their life cards, descriptions of their past history, any cash they might have, personal belongings, and sometimes a baby. But usually there's no valid form of identification. You start in your chair, which represents your home, and you win the game if by the end of the hour you return home. Otherwise, you end up in a halfway house, a homeless shelter, or back in prison.
Everybody ready?
No.
I followed Jane Blaylock through the simulation. She's a pro se law clerk for the United States District Court. She handles prisoner complaints and petitions primarily, but has never gone through the simulation. I ask her about what's in her packet.
My name is Rose, and I served 5 years in federal prison for possession with intent to distribute a controlled substance.
She has $30 to her name. She's a high school dropout with a microwave and a laptop, but no form of ID.
I'm unemployed, and I'm living with my significant other and his two children.
When I ask her what she's to do first, she becomes overwhelmed. She must see her probation officer, get counseling and treatment, buy food, pay rent, pay child support, get an ID, get a job, pay a traffic citation, get a urinary analysis, go to AA and NA and a GED class. And all of that will cost her about $710.
It doesn't look like it's going to be easy.
The game begins. First, she goes to get her ID. There's 14 people in line and no time to spare.
Hi, Rose. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
What do you need, Rose?
I need all my identity. I have no identification at all.
You have no identification. Okay.
You just want to fill that out at that table, and then we can help you.
And then you'll have to get back in line.
The table is filled, and time is ticking, and the line is growing. The auditorium is bustling with pretend ex-convicts making their laps around the room. While Jane, or Rose rather, fills out her form, I spoke with Sonny Baxter, an ex-convict who was helping run the simulation.
You know, the details are definitely there. The pressure obviously isn't because it's mock, you know, but as far as a shell representing, you know, how things actually go, it's pretty accurate.
Baxter was a federal inmate in West Virginia for 3 years. Upon release, he found himself in Wheeling with no family support nor any social safety net.
What was very important for me was finding supportive people along the way, you know, that understood my situation and actually assisted in me moving forward.
Today, Baxter's an operator at a factory and also tech support at Wheeling Jesuit University. He says, reality varies for each individual that's leaving incarcerated life, but upon release, it's far more than just making it to the bank or the grocery store.
It's a unique situation out here in Wheeling because there's no public transportation to Moundsville, which is where the DMV is at. So, you know, when you're in this area, you have to figure out a way to get some type of transportation in that area to get the ball rolling on everything else.
According to research from the Pew Center on the States, 1 in 4 released convicts will return to prison because they violated terms of the release. 10% return as a result of a new conviction. And for those with mental illness, the rates are even higher. When I returned to Jane, she was in a halfway house because she violated the terms of her parole, but she didn't stay there long.
I'm going to jail.
By the end of the simulation, she was back in prison, along with 2/3 of the rest of the participants. 6 people landed in the halfway house, and 2 were in the homeless shelter. 2 of the 4 babies were in Child Protective Services, 1 was relocated, and 1 died of starvation. Dividend says these are some of the most true-to-life results they've seen.
We've done it in the Eastern Panhandle for community service providers. We've done it at in Morgantown. We've done it at Wheeling Jesuit University. And we've done it at several of our facilities.
The atmosphere during the simulation was lighthearted, with community members running around in their business attire with lanyards and baby dolls. But everyone left realizing that for many people, this isn't a game. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Gabrielle Marshall in Wheeling.